It's called, What Do You Want Jesus to Do for You? A good question to ask. Praise God. We're going to see he loves us to be specific. And we'll see that by God's grace. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You see, what you find is there's usually, in the course of a preach, there's usually one thing that you've carried away. The Holy Spirit usually impacts one thing that's a real help to you to take away. So you ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants you to take away from this morning. We're not just tickling our ears here, are we, on these Sunday mornings? Come for a bit of ear tickling. Is anyone looking for some substantial thing to take away and to have in life? I am, from God's word. Amen. What do you want God to do for you? This is one of the questions that Jesus asked. It's wonderful. We're going to explore it in its setting there. Praise God. So it's a question that Jesus asked somebody in great need. What do you want me to do for you? Praise God. So, is Jesus willing to help? No, is he really willing to help? Praise God. He really is. I mean, looking through the scriptures, where do we see him helping? Name some areas that you see, if you look through the scriptures, Jesus helping. Healing. Is that a provision? Deliverance, wisdom, compassion, life from the dead, fed the 5,000. He dealt with all kinds of shortages. Is that right? We see Jesus doing all of those things here. He came to show us the Father. He came to show us what his heart was. Well, I've got a list of some things here. Forgiving and restoring from sin. Wonderful. A woman caught in the very act of adultery. What about Peter? Restoring, forgiving, restoring from sin. Healing and making people whole. Is that right? Healing mental health and emotional conditions of all sorts. I mean, think of the chap who was chained up. Right. I mean, he was in a bad state, wasn't he? Had to put chains on him to try and restrain all the state he was in. Well, Jesus got right into the middle of all of that, and he ends up with people clothed and in their right minds. Praise God! I mean, so some of our emotional ups and downs are not going to be much of a problem, are they, to Jesus? Praise God! If he could deal with somebody chained up in a cave, he's well able for the ups and downs of emotional this and that you and I might experience. Amen. Do we see him supplying in times of shortage? Praise God. Do we see him showing how a little can go a vast way under his blessing? That's a great one to see, that is. Praise God. Do we see him turning a business from loss to success? Put the net down the other side. Praise God. Do we see him training for godly living? That's really important, that one, isn't it? Jesus, he showed us exactly how to live a godly life, demonstrated it for us there so that we could see it. Amen. So what we can see from that, he meets every need. No need he won't meet. Now, the early disciples, speaking of their time with Jesus, they actually walked with the physical Jesus, the man Jesus right there. They walked with him at least 3 years. And this is what they said concerning their time with him. They said, this is the Amplified, John 1 verse 16. Out of his fullness and abundance, that's the first thing they saw. They saw, oh, he's full. He's full. He's abundant. He's abundantly full. That's the first thing they noticed. We have all received one grace after another. No, not a few in the group received. No, they said, we all received one grace after another. spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. That was their testimony of Jesus. That's what we saw. He just kept, he was lavish to give and to bless and to grace. And they said, out of his fullness we've received. Praise God. Is this the real Jesus? The real Jesus. We said on Christmas Day, when he gives out of his fullness, he's still full. Hallelujah. And no matter how much he gives, he's still full. He's eternally full. He's eternally to delight is to give from out of his fullness, grace after grace to us. Amen. And this is expressed as well in describing Father in Romans 8:32. God the Father, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he also not along with him freely give us some things? All things. I mean, this is the Father. This is Jesus. All things freely given. Freely given. He's not holding back on anything. Jesus isn't. Freely given. Praise God. It's wonderful. I mean, when we have the true picture of Jesus, it changes how you may receive. When you're carrying the true picture of him. Amen. Praise God. So if everything is freely on offer from God, what do I have to do to receive it? Take it. That's a good answer. Take it. That's as simple as that. Everything's freely on offer. He says there's a whole table all set out. You know, what do you want to receive? Just take it from my table. Is that right? Now, we had a wonderful prophecy that came some weeks back. I haven't forgotten this. And you see, the thing is all on Father's hand given to us. And the prophetic word that came to us was that it stays on Father's hand until you take it. Anyone remember that? It remains on Father's hand until you say, Father, I'm taking that. Thank you. Can you see it? It's an act of trust. It's an act of belief in him. Praise God. So be ashamed to go through all kinds of stuff and think, well, every answer was there in his hand and I never took it. Wouldn't that be a shame? So his encouragement this morning is to take, to receive from the one who's freely given everything. Will he not also, along with Jesus, freely give us all things? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Amen. So there was a good instruction from Mary, mother of Jesus. She said when they were looking for a miracle, looking for something to happen, whatever he says, do it. You see, very often if you ask him, you're going to get an instruction. You're going to get a starting instruction. Is that, do we see Jesus giving an instruction to people who ask? Is that right? Stretch out your hand. It's an instruction. Go to the pool of Siloam. It's an instruction. So when you ask, be open to say, Lord, what part do you want me to play in receiving this? How do you want me to cooperate with you to receive what you want to freely give me? Is that a good move? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to have a look into Mark 10, verse 46. And there's a wonderful example there of blessing going from Jesus' fullness to a blind man named Bartimaeus. Is that right? Wonderful. So Mark 10, verse 46. So this man was blind and he sat by the road begging. Terrible life, couldn't see, and had to beg for his livelihood, and we don't know how long he'd been there. But what we see about him, he was not ashamed to make his needs known to Jesus. He was not too proud to seek the help he needed. You see, sometimes the thing that can get in the way is pride. I can handle all this myself. Rather than coming to Jesus and have his ease to get the thing to you, pride just foolishness in not coming to him. I include myself in this. Praise God. You know, you go on with some stuff and you think, well, what am I doing with all this? I didn't come to Jesus about it to get his answer, to get his help. So this man was, he was not ashamed to make his needs known very clearly to Jesus, and Jesus loves this. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it was a cry for mercy. It was a cry for compassion. It was a cry for help. Amen. And he obviously had heard about Jesus, hadn't he? Obviously heard about him. He said, this man, Jesus, if you can connect with him, you'll receive what you need, the answer that you need in life. And so when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he cried out. He cried out for the compassion and the mercy. The idea he had in his mind was, if I can connect with Jesus, I can receive what I need. If I can connect with him, if I can link up to him, I'm going to have the answer that I need to receive from him. Praise God. I mean, in one place, you see, the scripture says, the reason we don't have is because we don't ask. Goodness me. The reason we don't have is because we don't ask. Amen. So verse 48, this is interesting. Many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many came to discourage him. Many came to put him off. You'll find yourself surrounded with plenty of people who will discourage you from receiving from Christ. I pray to God it's not from within the church. I pray to God it's not. Because the answer is that you stay continually open, continually believing, continually ready to receive from Christ when you've set your request before him. I mean, see, everything around us to discourage us from believing that Christ could have an answer. Is that right? Many people will discourage you and say, well, you don't want to get your hopes up there, and now let's think reasonably about this, and let's be practical about this here. You see, everything to put you off receiving from Christ. The circumstances themselves will try to discourage you. You see, Bartimaeus could say, well, you know, I'm stuck in this. I'm blind now, and there's not going to be any answer. There was no answer to blindness. You couldn't go and have some operations and different things and see again. There was no hope for receiving the sight, and because of the loss of sight, there was no hope of getting out being a beggar. It couldn't do a day's work. Can you see it? So the very circumstances can put you right off. Your thoughts will try to discourage you. It's gone on too long, this situation. Nothing's going to change now. Oh, we've all thought this. We've all had these thoughts. It's gone on far too long. It's a hopeless case right now, this is. You see, because you've been looking at the problem so long that you believe it could never change. Jesus, it says of Jesus, he didn't operate by the sight of his eyes, and he didn't operate by the hearing of his ears. He operated by what the Father was saying to him. See, that's where his wonderful, miraculous life came from. So the debt can seem too big. The debt can seem too big. It's just, well, there's never going to be an answer to it. Looking at it with natural eyes, never going to be an answer. 30,000 or whatever it is, there's never going to be an answer to that. I can't see any way out. The sickness is too entrenched. The doctors have told me you have that for life. Best you can hope for is some some treatment that'll help you a bit and alleviate some of the symptoms, and we thank God for that. But you see, if this thinking is the main thinking in our minds, we're stuck right there. The sin pattern is there too long. I mean, it's been there year after year. Same habit. Start speaking out the same way I didn't want to speak. Same things keep happening. What's that? That's all discouraging thinking, isn't it? Isn't it? The career change is, well, it's impossible now. There might have been some hope some years ago when things were a bit buoyant, but the career change I'm looking for, with the amount of people out looking for, well, it's just a hopeless case. The family relationships that I'm in right now, well, I've just learned to live with it because that's where we're stuck. And there is no hope out. Can you see? Well, I mean, see, here's what Bartimaeus did. He cried out all the more. He silenced all the voices. He silenced all the thoughts by crying out to Jesus, by keeping his focus to Jesus. He cried out all the more. He broke through all the discouragement. I mean, would you ask for the same for yourself from God? He'll give you that, you see. He'll give you that. Say, Lord, I've been so discouraged so long with this situation. It seems so unchanging. Would you give me the grace to look to you to see, no, there's a way clear of this for me to live free of this situation? Now, verse 49, Jesus stood still. I like that. You see, he loves the one who comes and they're determined. He loves the one who comes and say, I'm not taking no for an answer here in this, Jesus. He loves it. Absolutely loves it. So Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. Bartimaeus called to Jesus. Now Jesus is calling to him. He's made the connection with Christ Jesus. The fullness of him who fills all in all. He'd make connection with him. Then they called, the people all changed their tune around. They all called to the blind man saying, you know, they were discouraging, telling him to be quiet and shut up and everything before that. Be of good cheer now, they're saying to him. Rise, he's calling you. And all changed the tune there. And they're beginning to have a bit of faith in Jesus. Praise God. When he first called, the answer was on the way. No, the first time he called, the answer was on the way with Jesus. Because everyone who asks receives. So it says, rise. He's calling you. Now, we did an amazing thing here. For a start, he rose. That's good for a start. So he's up on his feet for a start. It's the beginning of a change, beginning of a possibility of a new time. He's standing on his feet. And he throwing aside his garment. Throwing aside his garment. See, seemingly they wore a special beggar's garment so that it could be identified, I suppose, and the people could give it to. He took that off. And look what it says. Throwing it aside. Wow. He threw his old life aside. He threw that old sickness, that old beggarly life. He threw it aside. In the face of Jesus. And he rose and came to Jesus. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. There's much to teach us, you see, in these passages here. Nothing will change for any of us until we move towards Jesus and decide the old way of thinking is going. Nothing will happen. The person who says, well, if he wants to do anything for me, he can do it. I mean, would that have got Bartimaeus anywhere? If he sat in the ditch and said, well, Jesus is passing by. If he wants to heal me, he can heal me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Oh, no. Had to be some action. Moving towards Christ. Believing that a change would come. Throwing aside his garment. It's a violent action. Throwing aside his begging clothes. He's on his feet now and moving towards Jesus. Glory to God. Take off the old garment. This is for us now. Be it fear. be it debt, be it relationships, be it health issues, be it bad habits, be it various problems. The truth is, we're not going to be clothed in those things because we are already clothed with Christ. Already clothed with Christ. You see, it's to see where we truly are, where our true position as sons, we're clothed with Christ. So when Jesus called, he rose and he deliberately threw off that which he wanted to leave behind before he received the answer. He threw it off before he received the answer. He didn't wait for the answer and then he'll throw off the begging clothes. No, he threw it all off before. Change of thinking, change of heart, change of thinking, staying open before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. What do you want to go to Christ for today? What do you want to see left behind forever? You think, well, that thing there, I need to take it off and throw it away and come to Christ. Hallelujah. It's a question to us. Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, what an extraordinary question. The man's blind, the man's a beggar. Jesus didn't presume what he wanted. He didn't presume what he wanted. He didn't presume he knew what the blind man wanted. He wanted him to clearly name his request. Is that good? Clearly name your request before Jesus. Is it wonderful? Very, very clear. Clearly name your request before him. So Jesus didn't presume what the man wanted. He wanted him to clearly name his request. He loves it. We say, Jesus, this is what I want. I'm receiving it from you. I won't take no for an answer. I'm receiving it from you. So there's tremendous power in setting your mind and your heart clearly to what you wish to receive from Jesus. Tremendous power in it. Jesus loves it. And so, verse 51, continuing, he says, Rabboni. Now, that means my great one, seemingly. It says in the margin. So he saw Jesus as my great one. If we see Jesus as my great one, the fullness of him who fills all in all, from out your fullness, Lord, we might receive anything. Anything for life and godliness. You've given all to us. We have to name before you what we want to receive. Change our thinking and come and receive it. Is he wonderful? Hallelujah. We can learn so much from this beggar. Thank you, Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. What way was he telling him to go? He says, you go the way you've spoken out, that I might receive my sight. Is it wonderful? You go your way, the way you've spoken out, that I might receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Now, what was his faith? His faith was to go to Jesus, who had the faith to heal him. Now, there's some wonderful, helpful scriptures in Acts 3 and verse 16. And into the verse, when they're saying, do you remember the man of the beautiful gate when he was healed and he went leaping and jumping and praising God? Do you remember that? And they're telling the people where the miracle came from. So it didn't come from our godliness and it didn't come from our power. And they said it didn't come from our faith either. Here's what they said. He said the miracle came, the faith which comes through him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The reason they went to Jesus is because he had the faith. You see, so when you actually think about it, you don't even have to have the faith for your answer. All you need is the faith to go to him. He's got the faith. It's not a question of I'm going to try and drum up faith for this healing, this whatever it is. He's got the faith. You come to him. Your faith is to come to him who has the faith and receive the answer. So he takes all the pressure off of you. And you can come to him who's he's freely ready. Freely ready with every answer. Praise God. Praise God. He has the faith for it. Praise you, Jesus. And it says that immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Was he wonderful? I mean, his eyes were opened in every way, weren't they? He's now following Jesus. Is it wonderful? So, what do you want Jesus to do for you? What do I want Jesus to do for me this coming year? I mean, it's a case of getting together with him, spending some time with him. Are you prepared to take off the old garment and the old trappings and the old way of thinking that held you in the past? You see, an idea can keep you in sickness. An idea can keep you in poverty. An idea can keep you in a problem. The idea, the way you think about the thing. You see, because if you think it can't shift, it can't move. I'm using my reason. It can't shift, it can't move. It's stuck, it's there forever. That's me using my reason. But if I start moving into Jesus and what he says and what he is freely willing to give, praise God. You see, sometimes entrenched situations, he gives you the start. He gives you the start to it. Sometimes it's not instant miracle. You come to Jesus, you make the request, and he gives you the starting thought and the starting idea, and now you can begin. And then he takes and he leads you on in to the answers. You see, I mean, supposing let's just take an example that it's a debt thing. Let's just take that as an example. And this huge debt and everything. Well, the debt became a debt because of the way we acted. Is that right? And so he's going to say, you know, you say, Lord, I want out of this debt, freed from out this debt forever. I'm in my thinking, I'm seeing myself free from it. Now he'll start to give you some ideas to bring the lifestyle that's going to stop the outflow in the wrong way. Can you see it? And then he's going to give you the strategies and the ideas and the help and how to do it. And sometimes he moves very, very fast. Other times you've got to stay with him because he's looking that you might be free from the thing for life. So he's looking to work in the changes that can leave you free for life from these things. Amen. Would you have the trust to come to Jesus for his faith for you and follow his instructions? Glory to God. John's going to lead us now in breaking of bread here. And you have your time with the Lord. And it's lovely to sit down and spend some time quiet at home sometime. Just get together with him and get before him and see what he says to you. And receive it from him very, very simply. Amen. Thanks, John.
The servers could come forward.